What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
So Max Lucado opens up one of the chapters in his book, Anxious for Nothing, by saying the widest river in the world is not the Mississippi, it's not the Amazon or the Nile. The widest river on the earth is a body of water called If Only. Multitudes of people stand on its bank every single day and cast longing eyes over the waters. They desire to cross over to the other side, but they can't seem to find the ferry. They're convinced the If Only river separates them from the good life. If only I could lose weight, I would have a good life. If only I could make more money, I would have a good life. If only I could get a job, get married, get healthier, I would have a good life. The If Only river. Guys, I guess my question to you today, are you standing on the banks of the If Only river today? Does it feel like the good life is just one click, one promotion, one purchase, one romance away? Are you convinced that working long hours or borrowing more money or taking on new responsibilities or stress or debt or short nights and long days are all a part of the cost of the ticket to the land of the good life? Because I'll tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. The good life does not begin with our circumstances or when our circumstances change. The good life begins when we have a change in our attitude. Well, guys, for the last 3 weeks, we've been in a series called Anxious for Nothing. We said that all of us struggle at times with worry, with stress, and with anxiety. Every one of us in this room, some more than others. According to the World Health Organization, in the past 30 years, anxiety disorders have jumped more than 1,200%. Imagine that. Anxiety disorders have jumped more than 1,200%. And you talk about a pandemic, anxiety issues have become the largest pandemic in the world today. And some anxiety, as we've been talking up about the past few weeks, some anxiety is certainly deeper than most. In other words, what we're dealing with is the type of stress and worry and anxiety that all of us struggle with at times. But there are those of you that would say, oh my goodness, Steve, what I go through is a whole lot deeper than what you're talking about. Because some people struggle physically and some people struggle emotionally. Some people are caused by a chemical imbalance in your life, and because that's the case, you need medication, you need to visit with doctors to get help in order to do that. Some of it's caused by emotional pain that's happened maybe years ago in your life. But whatever the case, there is no shame in medication, there is no shame in seeking out medical advice. And that's not what we're talking about during this series. We're talking about the level of anxiety that every one of us struggle with at one time or another. So, if that's you, if yours is deeper than that, I would encourage you to seek out more help. But my point is that most anxiety today can be dealt with spiritually. You know, we talk about the physical issues, we talk about emotional issues, but I believe that most anxiety issues today can be dealt with spiritually. And Paul gave us a blueprint in the book of Philippians chapter 4 on exactly how we should deal with that. Because if you'll remember, Paul writes the book of Philippians from a prison cell in Rome. He was in prison not for selling meth. He was in prison not for robbing a bank. Paul was in prison for standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was not really sure if he was going to die or not. Because the next week they could lob off his head. He didn't know. So if anybody should be stressed, if anybody should be worried, concerned, or anxious, I would think it would be Paul. Now, Paul writes, if you remember, we talked about this last week, that Paul writes the letter to the church at Philippi while he's in this prison in Rome. And why everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, poor Paul, he's at peace. He's a complete peace. And so he writes this letter to tell them partly on how to deal with anxiety in your life. And that's what we've been looking at. That's the blueprint that we're talking about. Because I got to tell you guys, if I were to have written, or I've got to say, if you would have written the letter to the book of, or to the church at Philippi, it might be a little bit more like this. Blame God. I will say it again. Just blame God. Let your anxiousness be evident to all. The Lord is nowhere to be found. Stress out about everything, big stuff, little stuff, things you can't control, things you wish you could, things that might come true, and things that could never possibly happen. In every situation, see it as an opportunity to gripe or complain to other people about how bad you've got it and how everyone else is cruising through life. Allow your envy and self-preoccupation to blow the problem out of proportion. Above all, never talk to God about it. He doesn't give a rip. And if you continue on this path, the anxiety that transcends all human understanding will give you ulcers, heart disease, headaches, joint pain, and lousy relationships. So rejoice and be glad. That's Philippians chapter 4, 4 to 7 with the SPT translation, or Steve Poe translation, whichever. And I've got to believe that a lot of you would have written it the same way. Because we get frustrated with the way life seems to be going, and so we get mad at God. We feel like God has let us down. You didn't answer my prayers, at least the way I wanted them to be answered, and so I quit. I'm gonna quit my life group, I'm not gonna attend anymore, and now I'm gonna quit church. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever come to the point because things in life were so difficult, or things in life were causing you so much anxiety that you just get angry with God? Paul might have felt that way. I'm not saying that he never felt that way. What I'm trying to get you to see is that he refused to respond that way. Big difference. He may have felt that way, but he refused to respond that way. He learned to see life through God's perspective. Listen how Paul actually wrote Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, we've been reading this every week because, again, this is our blueprint. And so rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Remember, we talked about that. And we said, rejoice in the Lord always. Are you kidding me? I'm going through physical problems. I've just lost my job. My marriage is in trouble. And you're telling me to rejoice? I'm not telling you. The scripture's not telling us to rejoice in your problems. It's not telling us to rejoice in your situation. The scripture is telling us to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. And you say, well, why would I do that? And it says, because the Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord because the Lord is near. What is that saying to you? What is it saying to me? It's saying, guys, listen to me, please. It's saying to us that God is not a million miles away in the stratosphere. God is right here. He is concerned with your life. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about the pain in your life. He cares about the hurts in your life. The scripture says he knows the numbers of hair on your head. Not difficult for me, but for some of you, it'd be more of a challenge. He knows everything about you. And so that alone gives us reason to rejoice, because we say, I know that God loves me. I know that he wants the best for me, which is why we said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so what do we say? We said then the person understands, okay, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because God is near. He loves me, he wants the best for me. Therefore, if I want to experience peace, then I need to stand between these two pillars. I need to keep my focus on him. And these two pillars say what? We say that I know that God is good. I know that he loves me. I know that he wants the best for me. And I also know that God is in control. That God is on the throne. That God has this. And as long as I believe these two things to be true, then peace is going to rise. And my anxiety is going to go down. It's only when I step outside of these two pillars, when I say that I know that God is good, I know that he loves me, but I'm not sure, my problem's pretty big, I'm not sure if he can handle that. When I start to believe that way, then anxiety rises, peace goes down. When I step outside here and I say, I know that God is in control, but I don't know if he loves me. You know, I know he loves the pastor, I know he loves this person, but I don't know if he loves me. Well, then what happens? My anxiety level rises and the peace begins to flow. And so that's why that scripture is telling us it's imperative that we stay between these two pillars and we stay focused on him. And then it says in verse 6, we'll go back to verse 6 where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, remember we talked about this last week, in every situation by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And we said those are three levels of progression when it comes to prayer. In other words, each of those levels, from prayer, you get more specific with petition, and you get more specific with request. Guys, God wants us to get specific with our prayers. Remember, James told us the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. And so that's what Paul is talking about. An effective prayer is what? I'm getting tongue-tied here, sorry. New tongue. James says the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. And the effective prayer is a specific prayer. You say, what is effective prayer? It is a specific prayer. That you're gonna say, look, I'm tired of anxiety in my life and worry in my life and stress in my life, so I'm gonna get specific with God on exactly what it is that I need, exactly what it is that I'm looking forward to, and what I need from him. So today we're gonna focus on one word, and that one word is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Listen, this is what I want you to get a hold of today. Anxiety comes down as thanksgiving goes up. Anxiety levels in our life will come down as you begin to have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. It will happen every time. You see, that's why, guys, this is such a big deal, but I think oftentimes we blow it off or we don't understand that it really can make that much of a difference, and it can. Anxiety levels will go down as gratitude and thanksgiving go up. You can't live, listen, you cannot live in a world of what ifs and in a world of already at the same time. Because when you do that, by living in a world of what if, your focus is on your stress, your focus is on, well, what if this happens? What if this circumstance happens? And you start to worry. You can't live in that world and the already world that it's already happened. God, thank you for the blessings in my life. You can't focus on the two things at the same time. Anxiety is about a future possibility or fear, while gratitude is about the present blessings going on in my life at this present moment. You just can't live in both worlds. So you will find the more, guys, you will find the more you express the heart of thanksgiving, the less you will feel anxiety, the less you will feel anxious. That's what Psalms is saying. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. Colossians 4 says we are to be devoted to giving thanks. In Psalms 116, it says that we are to make our lives a thanksgiving offering before the Lord. The book of Hebrews says we are to serve the Lord with thanksgiving. Seriously, guys, I could go on and on and on with passages that instruct us to have a heart of gratitude. So if you're serious about getting rid of anxiety in your life, which I believe all of us should be, thanksgiving, gratitude is the key. You know, guys, there's actually been a whole lot of research done on the power of gratitude. In fact, some people say that if gratitude came in a pill, we would call it a wonder drug. Gratitude also improves your sleep, which means you have less fatigue and less depression and less anxiety. Gratitude improves your health. Research shows that you can actually reduce, listen, you can actually reduce inflammation in your body just by being grateful. Who knew? Seriously. Just by being grateful, you can reduce inflammation in your body. I like this quote by this monk that said, happiness does not make you grateful. It is gratefulness that makes you happy. Happiness does not make you grateful. It's gratefulness that makes you happy. Which reminds me of the monk who vowed to do a life of silence. And so he reported in to the friar, and the friar said, okay, here's the deal. You're not to ever talk. You're allowed 2 words a year. At the end of the year, you'll report to me and you'll give me 2 words, and that's all forever. You're doing a life of silence. So he spent the first year, and he showed up at the end of the year to the friar, and he said, room cold. So he went through another year and lived a year with not talking, not saying a word. He showed up at the end of the year and said to the friar, "Bed hard." Went through another year, came back at the end of the year, and he said, "Food bad." Went to the fourth year, came back at the fourth year, and he said, "I quit." And the friar said, "It doesn't surprise me. All you've done is complain since you've been here." So guys, stop complaining and just start being grateful. Michael Zigarelli wrote a book entitled, it's an incredible book. I would recommend the book. He wrote a book entitled Cultivating Christian Character. And for that book, they did a huge study of over 5,000 believers worldwide. And I don't know if you grasp how big of a study that is. Usually when they do a study, it's anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people. But this was with 5,000 believers worldwide. And they compared the group of what they determined, they classified them as high virtue Christians. And what do they mean by that? In other words, a high virtue Christian are people who consistently displayed the fruit of the Spirit. And they compared it to a group of what they considered average virtue Christians. And they wanted to see what makes the high virtue Christian different. And what they discovered was one explanation or one characteristic that clearly stood out above all the rest, and that was gratitude. When you look at the difference between a high virtue Christian and an average, medium, average virtue Christian, the only difference between the two that they could pinpoint clearly and accurately was gratitude. You know, guys, when we try to help someone grow spiritually, we might suggest several spiritual disciplines for them to help them grow, such as prayer, reading their Bible, or whatever, but we rarely suggest an attitude of gratitude. We rarely suggest that. We rarely tell somebody, if somebody comes to you and they say, "What do I need to do to grow spiritually?" We rarely say, "Well, what you need to do is you need to put on an attitude of gratitude." We just don't do that. And yet, guys, in this study, they said a mindset of gratitude was by far the best explanation for genuine Christian maturity. That one factor. Centuries ago, the philosopher Cicero argued that among virtues, gratitude is the parent of all the others. It's a virtue that begets all other virtues. So I guess what I'm saying is that the more I've studied this, the more I've looked into this, I'm beginning to understand just how imperative and how important this virtue of gratitude is in our life and what an important spiritual discipline it can be. And then from a biblical worldview, gratitude is the characteristic that makes us most like Jesus. When we take on that type of attitude, we become more like Jesus. Zigarelli said, you know what? He said, you can call it apparent virtue. You can call it a gratitude effect. You can call it miraculous if you want. You can call it whatever you like. But gratitude is a powerful disposition that provides us with a very efficient, very effective mechanism for developing a myriad of character traits. Guys, listen to me, please. Do you want less anxiety in your life? Do you want more inner peace in your life? Then work on gratitude. Do you want more patience in your life? Then work on gratitude. Do you want to be more compassionate in your life? Well, you get the idea. Gratitude does all of this by setting a new thought context for processing our circumstances in life. A context of an abundant life. A context where everything we have is a gift from God. It's that recognition, that context of realizing everything I have has been given to me by God. It's a blessing, it's a gift, a context where we recognize that things could certainly be worse than what I'm experiencing today. Guys, I'm just saying this changes our entire outlook on life. And suddenly we are empowered to be the people that God calls us to more deeply love our God, as well as more deeply love our neighbors. Okay, if you're taking notes, let me give you four things that you can do to develop this kind of gratitude in your life. Number one, remember how much gratitude pleases God. Remember how much gratitude pleases God. You know, I showed you earlier several passages that make it clear that God desires for us to have a thankful heart. Let me give you another particular scripture passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It says, the trumpeters, musicians joined in unison to give praises and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. They raised their voices to praise God. Listen to me on this, guys. They raised their voices to praise God, and the presence of the Lord came into the temple in response to their grateful hearts. They raised their voices in praise and worship to God, and the presence of the Lord came into the temple in response to the grateful hearts. I've said to you so many, we talked about this last week, I've said this to you so many times before, I believe worship is one of the greatest pathways to God you can experience. It's certainly my pathway to God. Worship is the way that connects me with the Lord. It's just like it starts to set aside my selfish desires and helps me to get refocused on Christ. Listen to me, guys. Thanksgiving and praise are the key to attracting the presence of God. That's why it's so important that we do worship. You know, it's not, some people, at times people say, well, I don't like to worship, I don't like to sing. And so, you know, some people will come and they'll sit out there until the singing's over and then come in for the message. I just don't enjoy music, I don't like it. And it's like, you need to understand the point behind it. The point behind it is thanksgiving and praise are the key to attracting the presence of God. The whole idea of it is that we're going to worship Him because He's worthy to bring us into His presence. And so make up your mind to be a worshiper. You say, well, Steve, I'm not a very good singer. Well, you don't have to sing to worship. But even during a worship time, just listening to the lyrics and praising Him for who He is. Number two. Avoid complaining. Now, guys, I think this one should be obvious. Complaining and grumbling are often no more than an outward expression of the stress and the anxiety that we're feeling in our life. You know that's true. I mean, probably more today than ever before as we find ourselves in the middle of COVID, as we find ourselves in the middle of this pandemic, people's anxiety levels are rising. And how are they letting it come out? They're letting it come out with complaining and griping and anger, and all of that frustration is just exploding within them. It's no more than oftentimes an outward expression of their anxiety. You know, we talked about this last week. Social media often makes things worse. You know, we scroll through Facebook feed or we scroll through Instagram feed or whatever you want to talk about, and we see everyone's highlight reels. You know, another great vacation in the Bahamas. We can see their amazing Pinterest-inspired personal snacks, or their amazing weight loss of 30 pounds in 3 days, or their kids all dressed in adorable handmade outfits, or their fresh vegetables they've grown in their own garden, and then they ate on top of the table they handcrafted from some pallets that were being thrown away behind Walmart. And all of a sudden, we see those things and we think, my life sucks. My life is in the pits. You know, nobody talks about any negativity. Nobody shows any pictures of any negative things going on. We only show the best side of our lives. We're not smart enough. You know, we see social media and we think we're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough. We don't have as many skills as we need. Our anxiety level then begins to climb. We just don't seem to match up or meet up with everybody else. Again, guys, that's why we need to avoid complaining. And I know that's hard. I know it's easier said than it is done. But that's why it's important for us to avoid complaining. I promise you that when you do, when you're intentional about it, when you say, okay, enough is enough. I'm tired of being negative. I'm tired of griping all the time. I'm tired of complaining all the time. And so I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, I don't remember the name of the wise person that said this, but I thought this was a great quote. As you go through life, make this your goal. Look at the donut and not the hole. That's a great quote. Number three. Determined to be thankful. Again, that word determined is so important. Determined to be thankful. This is something you've got to decide to do. Guys, you could leave here, you could leave this service, and you could say, oh my, that was a good message. You know, that was good. I liked what he had to say. And nothing changes. You know, information will do you absolutely no good until you respond to it, until you decide you're going to apply it in your life. And so you have to come to a place where you say, you know what? I need to have an attitude of gratitude. I need to have a thankful heart. And so I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to make a decision. That's what I'm going to do. And so the quickest way to get rid of anxiety is to double down on gratitude. Draw a line in the sand and say, it starts today. Make a choice to rejoice. Some people push back and say, you know, how am I supposed to be thankful for losing my job? Or how am I supposed to be thankful for the illness that's going on in my life? Again, it's not that you're thankful for your circumstance, but you're thankful in your circumstance. It's what we said in that verse. It's not that we're thankful for our situation, but we're thankful for the Lord because he's near. You know, so many times we get this attitude that, God, I don't like this. I just don't understand it. But I'm grateful, God, because I know you have my back. I'm grateful, God, because I know you love me. I'm grateful, God, because I know you're in control and I know that you're a good God. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I've explained this verse many, many times to you. This doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be good. This simply means that God's going to work all things together for our good, that he's going to take this scenario and this situation and this problem, and if we trust him, he's going to work those things out together for our good. God will always, listen to me, God will always have our back if we trust him, which is why I can have a heart of thanksgiving in every situation. So again, the way to conquer anxiety is to change your attitude to gratitude, because anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's so important. Give thanks in all circumstances, not in some, not just in the ones that you like, not just in the ones you can accept. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful statement. This is God's plan for you in Christ Jesus. God said, I want you to be grateful. Why? Because I'm near. Because I care about you. Because I promised I'm going to work it out together for your good if you'll just trust me. I'm reminded of the story I read about a father and a mother of a young man who was killed in the military. And they came to the pastor and they said, we'd like to give a monetary gift in memory of our son who died in battle. Well, the pastor was so moved by this expression of love by these parents that he asked permission if he could share it with the entire congregation. And of course, they said, yes, you can. And so he shared it with the congregation. And another couple in the church were on their way home from the service after hearing that story. And the husband said to his wife, why don't we give a gift in the name of our son? And the wife looked at him puzzled and said, but our son is still alive. Her husband replied, exactly. All the more reason for us to give thanks. Number four, pray for the poor. Now, I know this one may seem a little bit unusual, so stay with me for just a minute. You might say, how in the world is that going to help anxiety? I believe that it will. I just think if we consistently pray for the poor, we'll find ourselves more grateful for all we've been blessed with. In other words, some of you have maybe went down into the city and seen some poverty and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it existed to this level. Some of you have been on mission trips, short-term missions trip with us, and you're like, oh my gosh, Steve, I had no idea that people had to live like that. And maybe it changed you, maybe it marked you, maybe it led you to live your life differently. Because what happens is that when we see how less fortunate many people are, we all of a sudden appreciate, we're all of a sudden grateful for what we do have. And so I'm just saying to you that if you make it a habit in your life to pray for those in poverty, specifically to pray for those in poverty, especially if you know some families or know some people, as you do so, I think you're gonna find that your gratefulness and your gratitude begins to rise. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. So as you're praying for those in poverty, ask God, Lord, I just pray for this family and I pray that you'd help them. I just pray for this neighborhood. I ask, dear God, that you would help them. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. And so you, as you pray for them again and thanking God for what he is doing in their life, again, I think your gratitude level is going to climb more than you could ever begin to imagine. On the other hand, when we focus on those who have more than we do, and isn't that where we usually land? We find ourselves all the time being envious of neighbors, being envious of people in the community that live in a bigger house, being envious of people in the community that drive a nicer car. And so we allow envy to set in. But when we change our frame of reference to the impoverished widow or to the hungry child or the jobless father or to those that are being treated unjustly, we then have a different perspective and envy will give way to contentment. And negativity will give way to praise. Friends, the bottom line is that we need to be intentional about gratitude. I've said that to you several times and I'll keep saying it to you. The bottom line is that we need to be intentional about gratitude, that we say we're going to draw a line in the sand and today it's going to change. God has blessed me and I'm going to write them down. I'm going to make note of it because I want it to change my life. And parents, listen to me, please. It's so important to teach your children to have an attitude of gratitude. And let me just say this, where do you think they have the best chance of learning it? They have the best chance of learning it in home because it's learned behavior. So the more they witness it from you, the more they hear it from you, this attitude of gratitude, this constantly thanking God for the way that he's blessed us, the more they begin to pick it up in their behavior. And so here's where I would encourage all of us to start. If you don't have a gratitude journal, if you don't have a journal that you use when you pray, could I just encourage you to get a journal and just start writing down the things that you're grateful for? Just make a list and start writing them down, no matter how insignificant they may seem. Once you have them down, you have them down. And every day you may want to add to it. Every day something might happen in your life today and you're like, oh my gosh, I really am thankful for what God's doing there, but I haven't put that in my journal. And so you add it to your journal. Make a list of the things you're thankful for and then help your kids to start. Can you imagine, oh my goodness, if you started your kids at a young age with a gratitude journal, how it would literally shape their lives, inform their lives, and by the time they leave home, what a difference it would make for them for their entire adult life. That they have created this habit of gratitude because mom and dad planted those seeds in their life from the time they were very young. And so talk about thankfulness all the time. Talk about it at the dinner table. Talk about it at bedtime. Talk about it before they're off to school. You know, listen, guys, there have been studies that have been done that have shown families that have dinner together in the evening, where everybody's together in the evening, have less issues in their family than others. They're closer, in other words, than other families. Not every meal. It's difficult nowadays to share every meal, but families that specifically say, no, we're doing dinner together, not in front of the television, not in your rooms. We're doing dinner at the dinner table. And no devices are allowed at the table. No cell phones are allowed at the table. No other devices. This is a time for family. It may only last 45 minutes. It may last an hour, but this time is about our family. And I would encourage you to be intentional about those meals. I would encourage you to say, okay, we're going to go around the table and we're going to say, how did God bless you today? Where did you see God step into your life today? And start it from a very young age. You know, your five-year-old, how did God bless you today? And you know, the answers are going to be cute and the answers might be make you smile, but that's okay. You're creating that habit of gratitude in their life. What are you most thankful for? Just go around and ask. Make a list and go over that list often and encourage your kids to go over their list. And the younger they are, the more you want to spend time with them in their list. Let's look at your gratitude list. What are we thankful for? What are you thankful for today? Is there anything you want to add to your list? Guys, I want to show you, I found a video by Louis Schwartzberg, who does some beautiful time-lapse photography. And I want to let you I want to let you, his images grip your heart as they did mine. I think they will anyway. As you listen to a 90-year-old man talk about the power of gratitude, watch your screen.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. Story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
Open your heart to the incredible gifts and blessings that God has given you. Guys, you may think of today as just another day, but I will assure you it's not. The scripture says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." In this day, he's given each one of us a gift. And the only appropriate response to that gift is thanksgiving. So I would encourage you to respond as if it is the most important day of your life. Guys, today we're going to share communion together as an opportunity for us to demonstrate gratitude and thanksgiving to Jesus for giving us life, as a way to demonstrate gratitude and thanksgiving to Jesus for dying on a cross for your sins and for mine. And so before they come to, the campus pastors come to share communion, I want to give you a minute for reflection. I want to give you just a minute to just jot down the first things that come to your mind. To jot down, when you think about how God has blessed you, what are at the top of your list? What are the first things that just pop in your head? So I don't have anything to write with. Well, maybe you've got your phone and just send yourself an email or send yourself a note. Just jot down some things. And then I would encourage you that when you get home, that just make up your mind that today's going to be the day. I'm going to start a gratitude journal. I just am. I'm going to start a gratitude journal, and I'm going to add to it every day. And I'm going to go through it every day and be reminded of all the different ways that God has blessed me.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.